to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. And coming to you from a location not charted on Babylon's maps, I bid you hello, and I welcome you to another session where hopefully you will be willing to visit the present chapter that we are living in. My friends, today in this chapter, we are approaching an apex of dark and stormy days. And every waking morning, there is a stirring of new events that are constantly arriving. These events are gargantuan, and these events are bigger than us. They're bigger than all of us, my friends, and they are a witness to the season that we are now in. What season is that? The days of the visitation of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, in His visitation upon the land and upon this earth. Because it cannot be denied. For those of you that are aware, for those of you that have your eyes open, that are not blind, that are able to look around and see, you know that we're not in normal days, and you know that things are going on. And some of you have some questions, and that's what we do here. We visit those questions. The website is watchmanscry.com, and you can go there to listen to many other audio messages that are helping to explain what's going on. So please go there and download other messages and share them with your friends, share them with your family. If you appreciate these messages, please ask God about helping to hold us up in prayer and in support. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Today's program is going to be very special. This message is going to be, at times, frightening. And I'll be honest, folks, the things that you hear on today's message may disturb you. They may alarm you. They may scare you. But I am praying that they will also move you and challenge you to seek God and to realize that we are all mortal beings and that our lives are a vapor and that also we need to be doing everything we can to get our spiritual lives in order. Folks, please hear me. You are running out of time and soon you will be out of time. So please stop delaying. Some of you may be saying, why? Why am I out of time? What is coming? What's going to happen? Those of you that have become regular listeners, you know that every time I speak, I share another piece of the puzzle with the help of the Holy Spirit to give information on what is coming. I share reasons why you need to be concerned. Now, as I speak right now, this world is rumbling, it is shaking, quaking, and it is groaning. My friends, it is travailing and it is waiting to be redeemed. The hour is very late, and very incredible events are coming to this planet. Terrible events will soon be arriving to your country. Soon they will be arriving to your city, to your town, and then they will be hovering over your neighborhood. They are going to arrive on your street, and your neighbors are going to witness them. And when they do arrive, my question is, will you be ready when they arrive? On February the 14th, of this year, 2010, I had a guest on this program. And on that show, we talked about an event that could end Western life as we know it. The guest was Benjamin Baruch, and on that broadcast, he shared some information about how our sun could emit a solar storm that could potentially cause an EMP type of blackout, which could throw the USA or other countries into the dark ages for years. So coming back here to talk about these things is Benjamin Baruch. Benjamin, welcome to Watchman's Cry.
Well, it's great to be back.
You know, Benjamin, since the last show, it was within 1 or 2 weeks from that last program, volcanoes worldwide just started erupting. They started going crazy.
Well, and a number of earthquakes.
Exactly. In fact, before this program started, I made a notation of how many earthquakes have happened just in the last couple of months. And on April the 5th, we had the earthquake in Baja, California. And the next day, a volcano in Alaska erupted. And then 2 days later, a volcano in Indonesia erupted. And then the next day, on April the 9th, Mount Etna in Italy erupted. And we have had earthquakes in Chile, Ecuador, Nicaragua, France, Japan, Costa Rica. The whole world is rumbling, Benjamin, and you shared that these things were indeed going to be approaching the earth, and you said that they were going to be arriving in 2011, but already we're getting a preview of what's to come. Now, why is the world erupting? Why are all these things happening? We're going to talk about that. For those listeners that did not hear that program, I invite you to go to watchmanscry.com and listen to that program. I believe it's message number 145. Listen to that, but also listen to what we're going to talk about on this program, because we are going to share some very, very insightful things. Now, folks, I don't want you to process this in your mind as Friday night entertainment where you can sit down with popcorn and get scared for an hour and a half. I want you to really take hold of what we're going to share in this program, because your lives depend on it. So, Benjamin, we are in dire times right now, aren't we?
We have indeed entered into the beginning of the judgment. It's underway, and these early signs of the birth pains of the kingdom, much like labor pains, as the Lord indicated, are going to grow in intensity, and they're going to grow in frequency. Given the current level of intensity and frequency, it's already getting radical. I don't think we can even imagine what things are going to look like 6 to 12 months from now.
It's incredible, Benjamin. You look at the different categories. You have the earth groaning and travailing. That's one category. We have flooding in Nashville. We have the Icelandic volcano shutting down Europe. And then on top of that, we have the financial system about to crash. Every week, there's a different headline.
And then we've got, of course, the major oil platform that exploded mysteriously in the Gulf and is now threatening the entire ecosystem of the southeastern United States.
Incredible. These things are not coincidence. The watchmen of God, the messengers of God, I believe you've been at this for over 10 years, have been warning through the power of the Holy Spirit that judgment has come to this country. And it's arrived already, Benjamin. We don't have another year or two to prepare. It's happening now. The people that have been sitting on the sidelines, not getting ready, they're going to be caught off guard, aren't they?
Well, yeah, they've already been caught off guard with the first wave of the judgment. And it's important that our listeners understand the judgment sequence that God uses has not changed. The Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. And God's sequence of judgment is outlined in the prophetic writings with the way that he's dealt with mankind and with the nations in history. And in Ezekiel 14, the Lord outlines the judgment sequence that he uses when a nation has sinned grievously against him, to the point that its very ground has become defiled by the blood of the innocent life that's being murdered, and the blood is being poured down the sink and down the sewers of America, and the blood of the innocent life extinguished daily in this country has defiled this land and has brought the cup of iniquity to the brim, to the fullness, and as a result, the transgressors have come to the full, and that's our political system full of transgressors. And we have set in motion the judgment. The first judgment is the economy, the breaking of the staff of bread. And that began in the fall of 2007 on Rosh Hashanah, high holy day of the New Year day on the secular calendar. The stock market topped out, the real estate problem emerged, and we began the slippery slope to judgment on the ecosystem, the economy. And the scripture describes it as breaking the staff of bread. Well, in biblical times, the economy was an agrarian economy. And when God wanted to judge the economy, he busted the staff of bread. And he sent famine, and the production from the agricultural sector collapsed, and the economy was in ruins. Well, our economy is built on financial structures, and it's built on real estate, and it's built on a mountain of debt that we've created. And the Lord decreed its judgment in the fall of 2007, and we are now entering into the third year of the judgment on the economy. And we are going to transition into the second phase of the judgment sequence, which is wild beasts enter the land to rob the people of their freedom and of their children. And these wild beasts, if you go and you study Ezekiel 14 and you look at the Hebrew words in the original manuscript, the word in the Hebrew for wild beast can be translated an evil company of men are coming into the land, and they're going to impose checkpoints, and they're going to impose the loss of freedom and tyranny in a police state called martial law is right around the corner, so that none can pass through. There'll be no more free travel, no more entering and exiting at your choice. Your freedoms will be restricted. And then the third judgment, which in my opinion will be within the next 2 years, after we enter into the second phase, which is the loss of freedom in this country, after the collapse of the economy is complete, we'll transition into a police state period. And then the third judgment will come, which is the sword, which is war, and this time it's going to be World War III, and it's the Battle of Ezekiel chapter 38, which will consume both man and the wild beast from off of the land. And so that's where we're at. It's a very serious time, yes. We have a few months left to prepare. The debate's over, folks. If you don't understand, well, then maybe you'll never understand, because it says in the scripture, the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. If you're called by Jesus Christ, you call Jesus Christ Lord, and you claim the name of Jesus, you are supposed to be watching for these things, and you're supposed to be awake. You're supposed to have oil in your lamps. These days are not supposed to come upon you unaware. And you're supposed to be praying and fasting in this hour and praying without ceasing. But the Lord, who's so rich in his mercy, continues to try to wake his sleeping church, and he continues to reach out to rebellious humanity. And he's been providing signs in the earth, all the volcanoes and the earthquakes and the storms and the disasters, signs in the stars, which we can get into. The heavens are declaring the judgment that's underway. Signs in the sun. The sun itself is destabilizing it and presenting evidence of the judgment. Signs in the moon. The signs are everywhere if you care to awaken from your sleep. You know, Nathan, I was in Southern California about a week ago, and I was actually down at one of the hotels, and I was just taking a break at the end of the day. And so I went down to just relax for a few minutes, and I began to witness the truth to somebody that was at the pool. And some other guy comes walking over, and he says, you know, I'd fallen asleep. I was sleeping by the pool, and your voice woke me up, and I heard you talking. And I realized you're talking about the scriptures and about the truth. Tell me, what are you talking about? And I shared the message of what's about to happen with this guy, and he said, isn't it prophetic that I was sleeping, and I heard your voice, and it woke me from my sleep?
Amen.
And the guy received the whole message, and, you know, he turns out he's a devout believer. You know, within probably 30, 45 minutes of talking with this brother, he could discern in his spirit that we were speaking the word of the Lord and not our own personal opinion, or, you know, not our personal political viewpoint, but in fact, the revelation that's come forth from the kingdom of God, because the Lord always warns his people, right, Nathan?
Exactly. 2 Chronicles 36, I believe.
And in today's hour, God's even providing the scientific evidence.
Right.
The Lord is giving us everything. He's showing us everything. And the program you're referring to back in February, we brought forth some scientific evidence that has come out from guys that are experts that are working in the area of the sun and the earth changes and the climate changes. And they provided us some of the data. One of the things we talked about was a neutron star. And another thing we talked about was a companion star to our current sun. And the report that I presented was a summary of a meeting that I had that lasted 10 hours. I met with these physicists. These guys are PhDs. They worked for official agencies of our government for the last 15 years on these problems, on the problems of what's happening in the sun and what's happening with global climate change, and not the fictitious one, inconvenient lie that they're trying to perpetrate on humanity, that it's somehow your car that's causing all of these changes, but the truth about the changes in the solar system and in our sun and in our world. And I want to make one correction to the program back in February. I had understood that there was the effects of a neutron star that are impacting our planet. We'll get into that in detail. And that there's also evidence to indicate that our sun, which is a variable star, has a companion that would be another star that's in an elliptical orbit with our sun. And I had apparently confused this companion star, which the science experts estimate is a brown dwarf, with this neutron star that is emitting radiation, which is affecting our sun and our solar system. It turns out the neutron star that's being observed, and there's ample evidence that this is happening, this is a scientific fact, it is in the region of the constellation of Orion and is estimated at 1,300 light years away from the Earth, which seems like a long distance to me, but apparently in astrophysics terms, that's kind of down the block. But the companion star, which is going to approach perihelion with our solar system sometime in the next 3 years, is only exerting magnetic forces and gravitational forces on our solar system this neutron star that is sitting behind the Orion constellation is also impacting us with cosmic and gamma radiation, and that is what's really getting things whipped up around here.
Okay, so for the listeners, if you understood what Benjamin was talking about, basically our solar system is being influenced by outside forces which are going to wreak havoc on the Earth in the future. Is that correct?
Yes, and these forces are already causing dramatic changes. They're the force behind the increase in the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the weather that's going out of control, and all of the Earth climate changes that we're witnessing.
Now, I got a few emails from people that said in 09 there were not very many sunspots, and that may be true. In 09 the sunspot activity has been low. However, we are about to come back into a maximum cycle where NASA is expecting sunspots to increase and solar flares to increase. Is that correct?
During the bottom or the low point of this 11-year cycle, we're in what's called a solar minimum. And during the solar minimum, the sun is relatively in a benign or a calm state. During the solar maximum, the sun is fairly agitated, and you get a lot of these solar events, including solar flares. The last solar minimum was in 2005, 2006. And the next solar maximum will be 2012. NASA is forecasting the highest solar maximum ever recorded in 2012. Well, if you look back at 2005, which was the solar minimum, we had the largest explosion on the surface of the sun recorded in modern history, in which not just solar radiation, but actual particles, solar plasma, was hurled at the Earth, and it traveled to the Earth at something approximating one-half the speed of light, which really kind of surprised a lot of our scientists. There were experts who thought that wasn't even possible, but yet it happened, and it destroyed a number of communication satellites. It affected the power grid. It caused massive blackouts in parts of Canada and on the East Coast, and that was during a solar minimum when the sun should be relatively benign. So, you know, today we may be at a normally low sunspot level, but that doesn't mean the thing won't explode in another year or two into the highest level of volatility we've ever seen. People can just stick around and see it for yourself.
I have a report here that I was doing some research to prepare for this program, and it's a report from NASA, and it cites several geomagnetic storms in the past that have affected power outages in our modern world. In 1989, there was one in Quebec. They lost power for 9 hours, but there are some in history that occurred before we had our modern conveniences and before we had computers. In 1921, there was a geomagnetic storm in May, and it produced ground currents 10 times stronger than the one in 1989 that hit Quebec. Now, that was in 1921. If we go back to 1859, there was a magnetic storm that they actually call the Carrington event, and it occurred in August of 1859. This one was so powerful, Benjamin, that back then they only had telegraph poles, but this is how powerful it was. Telegraph poles caught on fire, and the actual telegraph operators, their paper caught on fire in their offices, and the lines got electrified where people were actually electrocuted. So this thing was so powerful that it knocked out telegraph equipment, and if that thing were to occur in modern times, that would have been the EMP event that would have thrown us back into the dark ages. Now, what you're saying, Benjamin, is you met with a scientist that says we're going to have some EMP activity that's going to knock us back into the stone ages. Is that correct?
Yes, they estimated that a similar magnitude EMP event, such as the Carrington of back 1859, is 98% probable to occur within the next 3 years. But there's a difference now. Two things are different. One, the modern society is totally dependent on the electronic infrastructure. And if it collapses, modern society collapses. And two, the magnetic sphere, which is the shield that protects the Earth, which was intact and in place in 1859, is collapsing today. So a similar event as in 1859 would have much more powerful effects on the surface of the Earth today. And it is a scientific fact that the magnetic sphere is decreasing in potency. That is an established fact. It's also a fact that there are parts of the Earth where there are absolute gaps in the magnetic field. Now, this is not on the evening news. Your government officials are not stressing this information. They're not bringing this forward to the general public because there's nothing they can do. So they don't want to unduly alarm you. But this information is known by all of the governments of this earth and by all the leading scientists who work in this field. And a similar EMP event from the sun today would have a devastating effect on Western civilization or any industrialized economy. And when we speak of Western civilization, we're really talking about parts of the earth that operate with an industrial, electrical-based economy. So, you know, for the tribes that are living the same as 1,000 years ago in the dark jungles of the world, maybe some of the rocks will get magnetized. That'll be the effect on them. But for people that rely on an electronic system to provide them food, water, housing, shelter, all those things are going to suddenly be eliminated.
Wow. Okay, well, Benjamin, can you go ahead and give us some more of the information that maybe you didn't have a chance or we ran out of time in the last program? Can you do that?
Yeah, I would be happy to. There are two external forces or sources of energy that are affecting our planet today, and they're affecting the entire solar system. One, this neutron star that's quite a distance from us, and the other, apparently, a companion star to our own sun. Both of these forces are profound in and of themselves. Coupled together, the scientists that I talk to are convinced, and this is an opinion of an expert, that they will represent an extinction of life category event on several areas of this planet. It may not affect the entire globe, but there will be areas of the planet affected to the degree that the best way to describe the effect is they will be an extinction of life level event.
Oh, man. Wow. So we're talking everybody in those areas, affected areas, is going to die.
Or a substantial percentage of the population, you know, plus 90% fatality.
Now, is it because over time, from the lack of resources?
Well, because the Earth is destabilizing, the magnetic pole is shifting, the magnetic sphere collapsing, the core of the Earth heating up, that's causing the mantle to destabilize, causing earthquakes to increase. The volcanic impacts alone are going to put tremendous quantities of sulfuric acid into the atmosphere. There's going to be huge increases in the acid rain. That's going to poison the waters. There's going to be huge amounts of volcanic dust that is basically toxic to humans. If you breathe the stuff, you essentially suffocate from within. There'll be huge earthquakes, huge storms, and then ultimately the EMP effect that'll incapacitate huge sections of modern society where the current infrastructure will simply stop running. It'll stop because this electrical surge that is likely to occur will blow up the transformers. And if you blew out the transformers in the half of the United States, there's no way to fix them in any short period of time. Matter of fact, we don't even manufacture transformers anymore in this country. We import them. So we don't even have the means to rebuild our own electric grid. We would rely on imported materials. And in the event of a worldwide disruption, we might not even be able to get those imported within any reasonable period of time. And when you look at the vulnerability of our modern Tower of Babylon that we've built, if the power goes out for any prolonged period of time in our major cities, you immediately start having massive losses of human life because there's no food being distributed. There's no gasoline at the pump because of no electricity to pump the gasoline. There very quickly are no trucks running. Very quickly, within 2 to 3 days, there's no food left in the stores. There's no water pressure. There's no water coming out of your tap. The sewer treatment system no longer functions. And within a few more days, your bathroom becomes a biological disaster zone as the toilet backflows and you have a biohazard seeping out of your bathroom floor into the rest of your house that's highly contagious. And in those conditions, the social fabric will break down. People will become violent in fighting over the remaining scarce resources. There will be multitudes of fatalities as a result of the violence. There will be no social services occurring, so no one's going to be picking up the dead bodies. The bodies will then be decomposing inside the urban centers. They too will become disease vectors. You'll end up in a situation where the combination of starvation, dehydration from lack of water, coupled with exposure to what will now be epidemic type diseases, alongside all of this violence will result in statistically the death of up to 95 to 98% of the urban population in less than 30 days.
Wow. The scientists you spoke to actually cited numbers like that.
Yes. They think that, you know, if you were to take a major urban center, like let's just pick Los Angeles, which is one of my favorites, which the Southern California basin today has something like 10 million people. If the power were to go out in Southern California or in the western United States, for example, after a period of 30 days, there might be 50,000 people left alive in L.A., 100,000 out of 10 million.
Incredible.
But the vast majority of the people would, unfortunately, perish because there's no way to physically leave there without any gasoline to operate vehicles. You're not going to walk out through hundreds of miles of desert, and none of the cars will be running because the EMP blast will have fried their microchips. Even if you could get gasoline, your auto won't work. Your cell phone won't work. There's no internet. There's no TV. There's no phone. And within 2 to 3 days, it's going to turn into Mad Max and Thunderdome in the city. And you won't be able to hunker down in your house because none of the services in your home will work. So you very quickly will be in a situation that people can't even imagine.
Now, Benjamin, when we did our program in February, I asked you about the best case scenario and the worst. And I believe in that program, you told us about the best case scenario. So are you citing, is this the worst case right here?
Well, yeah, there will be cities where the majority of the people are going to die. I mean, is that worst case? These scientists estimated the probability of that occurring in the next 3 years at higher than 98%, that there will be parts of the world where we will have major geological events, solar disruptions. As a result, the infrastructure will collapse and the majority of the population will perish. I personally don't think we'll get beyond the impacts of the Book of Revelation. I think the highest authority on what's about to happen is the Book of Revelation. And we know from the scriptures that in the first wave of the opening judgments of the Book of Revelation, only one quarter of the earth's population dies. So we're looking at something in the magnitude of 1.5 billion people dying in the first wave of the judgments. Now that could, 300 million of those people could be Americans. Not to say that it's randomly dispersed among the percentages of the Earth's population. You know, the people that live in South Samoan Islands may be totally unaffected with the beginning of the judgment. It may be concentrated in other parts of the Earth. But these changes are occurring. The science data is there to confirm this is real. The Book of Revelation is about to unfold. The scientists have their estimates. They're talking extinction of life level events, the end of the world as we know it. Now, these guys are not believers. They think any parallel to Bible prophecy is purely coincidental. We, on the other hand, know the kingdom of God is in charge of these things, but the Lord has set in motion all of these judgments, and he's now providing scientific data to his people to show them that, look, this is actually real. I mean, just think about it. The magnetic sphere, which is the shield that protects our Earth from lethal doses of solar radiation, is collapsing. At the same time, our sun is destabilizing and increasing its radiation output. That is not a favorable combination. Deadly radiation is increasing and your shield is decreasing.
Not good. Now, is this a one-day event, 1 week? How long?
No, this is an event that's going to last several years. Any of our listeners that are somewhat older in age that remember what life was like back in the 1960s and 1970s and the 1980s, when you could go to the beach and you could lay out in the sun or enjoy a recreation in the sun all day, you try that today, you're barbecued.
You know, that's true.
And personally, a test that I observe in my own experience, the sun is hotter today than it was 20 years ago. And I've talked to scores of people who've all said the same thing. Yeah, it's as if the sun is getting hotter. Well, guess what? It is. You're not imagining it. Told from the Book of Revelation, the sun will heat up and scorch the earth. Okay, folks, we're merely providing you some of the scientific data on what is causing the sun to heat up and scorch the earth.
Now, when this sun activity begins and happens over the course of years, are there going to be bursts of flares that will make it this week and then the next week there's another one? Will it be a constant barrage?
Well, you know, that's probably unknowable. I certainly don't know. The sense I have is it's going to be kind of a random thing like the weather, where one day things could be really intense and then things could calm down for a few weeks. But the sun is destabilizing, and the shields are going down. And these effects are literally solar system wide. One of the things that's being affected on our planet is the very nature of lightning has changed. And today, when we have thunderstorms around the tectonic plates, apparently there's gamma radiation being emitted from the tectonic plates coming out of the Earth, coupling with the electrical lightning in thunderstorms and causing a new form of lightning to occur. It's called blue jet lightning, and it actually is lightning that goes upward to the outer atmosphere from the top of the thunderstorm. So while the normal lightning that we see from the ground on the Earth is still originating in the thunderclouds and ultimately discharges into the Earth, there is simultaneously a new form of lightning that is discharging upwards into the ionosphere, and it is apparently arcing or coupling with gamma radiation emanating from these distant sources within this galaxy that are somehow coupling with the forces inside the core of our Earth, emitting as gamma radiation through the tectonic plates. And historically, the Earth never emitted gamma rays, folks. It's been emitting gamma radiation recently. And this was actually picked up by the Western nations' military satellites that have been put in space to watch for the detonation or the use of nuclear weapons on the surface planet as part of our defense system. Those satellite systems began to detect gamma radiation coming out of Earth itself, and the location of this radiation that's been measured is coincidentally the tectonic plate boundaries, which the scientists were of the opinion that this is fairly significant. This radiation is meaningful, and it tells you that there's a whole lot going on under the ground that didn't used to be happening.
So it's like leaking energy, so that's going to affect volcanoes along the plates.
Yeah, it's more than leaking energy. It's as if there's a huge electrical current. It's not electrical energy, though. It's a form of gamma radiation, which is a super high level of radiation. It's as if this radiation is arcing or connected from the very core of our Earth through our thunderstorm into our upper atmosphere and from there to our sun and to a distant neutron star. And the entire universe is in fact one huge connected field of energy and matter. And there is something huge happening right now that is about to change our planet.
Well, you know, that's interesting. All the volcanoes that have been going off, it's along the Ring of Fire.
Oh, yeah. It's the tectonic plates that are erupting. Iceland's on the North American and Eurasian plate. Haiti is through the Caribbean. Chile's on the plate. Yes, it's the entire Ring of Fire. It's the tectonic plates that are breaking loose. And it's really going to move in the next couple of years.
When Iceland did its thing and it shut down the air traffic for 1 week, cost billions of dollars for the airlines, and right now they're worried about Katla going off, and if that thing blows, it's going to be historically a lot more powerful. If the ash is in the air, they would shut down air travel for both continents.
If Katla goes off, it could change the weather of the world. It has typically erupted. Matter of fact, it always has erupted 1 to 2, 3 months after the minor volcanoes in Iceland erupt. And the eruption is typically 100 times as powerful. And it changed the weather in the world the last time it erupted, which was some couple hundred years ago. It will be one of the biggest events to occur in modern history. This current Iceland volcano that shut down the airspace in Europe is kind of it's a small fry compared to Katla.
That was a commercial on what's coming.
Yeah, it was just like coming attractions of a movie that you're about to watch.
You know, the Lord God, when he judges, he doesn't leave out anything. He knows how to do it. He knows how to get man's attention. And if Katla did that, the famine results from that would be incredible.
Oh, it's going to be catastrophic for life as we know it. You know, this world is passing away. It's days and it's time spiraling. But the good news is there's another world coming. And for the Earth, for the people of this current age who are really citizens of Babylon, they have much to be afraid of and much to be worried about. Their hearts will fail them in fear for what's about to come upon this Earth. But for those of us that are believers, we are citizens of another kingdom. That kingdom is coming following these judgments. And for those of us that are walking in faith, this is our time to shine.
You know, Benjamin, I already know that I'm going to get email on this program, and I'm going to have the question asked, where can I Google this information that you guys talked about? So how can you answer that question? Let's do it in advance.
Well, you know, people can attempt to Google this information. You need to understand that Google is not the source of all truth. It may be a great reference source for a majority of the information that is published and in the public domain for the world. But you also need to understand that the Lord warns you, be not deceived, and let no man deceive you. And that includes any other person and yourself. Much of the information that's in the world is of the world and from the world, and therefore it really should be labeled disinformation. It can be partially correct and partially incorrect or incomplete or an outright fabrication and lie. And so if you go and Google this information, you're not going to find everything that we're talking about confirmed in the internet. Why is that? Well, part of this information is not available for public distribution. Well, how do we have it? Well, the Lord gave it to us, and we're giving it to you. How do you have it? You got it because the Lord wanted you to have this information, but you may not be able to confirm all of it on Google. Now, we are not authenticating this data. We are presenting information that was made available to us. Now, there is a fair amount of evidence of various official organizations that are confirming these data points. The scientists that have brought this report also have a distinguished resume, and they work with and have worked with a number of very prestigious organizations, but they choose to remain anonymous. This information is not going to be received well. There's a reason why your government's not telling you about this. Instead, they're quietly building underground bunkers for the elite. If you think about it, folks, go back to Y2K, which was obviously a huge disinformation campaign designed to discredit the watchman and the warning of this hour. And our government knew Y2K was a lie. They put out much of the disinformation. You may remember the Naval Report. It was issued by the U.S. Navy. You would think they know what they're doing, right? In which they said that there would be these catastrophic failures in multiple sectors of the economy, and of course none of that ever happened. Well, they knew that wasn't going to happen. At the same time, your government was building underground command and control bunkers in all of the major cities of the United States. Why would our government, state and federal and local, spend billions and billions of dollars building underground bunkers to protect against an event they knew was not going to occur? It's obvious. That was a cover. They prepared those bunkers for an event they know is going to occur. 12 years later, that event's going to hit us. And over a period of years, we're going to see Earth changes so dramatic that a substantial percentage of the population of this planet is not going to survive.
You know, that what you just said right there about underground bunkers is easy to find on the internet because there's a lot of photos now and there's people that have come out that have worked on those things.
Yeah, it's all real. Yeah. You can also find people denying it on the internet. You know, there's sources of both pro and con for almost everything. But yes, the cities came out publicly and announced they were building these command and control centers to guarantee the continuity of government for Y2K. I mean, come on, Y2K was a scam.
Yeah, I believe after 9/11, it came out in public that a shadow government does exist, and a lot of our representatives were hiding in those underground bunkers when 9/11 went down. So
right,
that's out of the bag. But all we have to do is look at the scriptures, because the scriptures tell us that man is going to have underground bunkers.
Right. And, you know, to get back to your question, you know, how can a believer Google this information? You know, the information that's out there changes all the time, but if you're dealing in information that's not being disseminated to the public, it's going to be unlikely that you're going to be able to Google it and find public sources that confirm the information. You know, if we were to talk about information that's confidential, probably couldn't go to Google and verify it. It was like before 9/11, I was given a dream in which I saw our country attacked by commercial aircraft from United and American Airlines. And this has been verified. There are witnesses that came forward. I am telling the truth, and I'm telling it accurately. I ran around telling everybody I knew, we are about to be attacked by enemies who are going to use commercial aircraft from United and American Airlines. Most people thought that sounded rather crazy. I agreed with them. I said, I know, it sounds absolutely crazy. And I don't understand it. I just know it's going to happen. And 6 weeks later, it did. And then it didn't seem so crazy after all. But if you were going to try to Google my report, you know, Benjamin's talking about United and American Airlines. I can't find anything on Google. Well, but you know, wait, just wait. It did hit Google eventually. Could some of this data be incorrect? Sure, of course. It's coming through men. Have we authenticated it? No. There's a fair amount of evidence. Based on all the data that I've seen, and I've spent the most time looking at the actual source data. Nathan hasn't seen the source data. You know, to our dear listeners, you'll probably never see the source data. I have looked at it carefully. I've spent months on the phone with these physicists. I can tell you, I am fairly certain that the magnetic field is collapsing. There's tons of evidence of that. Maybe you can find that on the internet. That fact alone is enough to conclude we're about to see the Book of Revelation occur. And that's the only reason why I really brought any of this forward. It's just more authority to confirm that the day of the Lord is at hand, and we got to get ready to face the judgment day of our God.
Amen. You know, Benjamin, I talked to you privately. I remember you told me that you had a dream about a bunch of airplanes. You remember that?
Yeah, I did. This was a few years back, and I never did quite understand it, but I did have a dream in which I was watching hundreds of airplanes. They were filling the sky. It was sort of over one of the major metropolitan areas, and all of a sudden, I wasn't quite sure what happened, but they all just simply fell out of the sky. And I remember there were so many of the planes falling, people were beginning to run because they were concerned that the airplanes were going to fall upon the location that they were at. And I remember looking up, and there was a plane coming down right at my house that I was at. And I ended up having to run, and there was probably 200 airplanes that fell out of the sky simultaneously.
Well, I find that real interesting, Benjamin, because an EMP burst would have that effect.
I know. I never really put the two of those together, but when you mentioned that, I realized, you know, Nathan's right. If we did have a big EMP, there would be probably a lot of airplanes that just simply fall out of the sky like they just stopped flying. And it would all be simultaneous. So, you know, perhaps that is a picture of what's about to come. Because, you know, it's not just the sun that poses an EMP risk. If you look at the book, I think it's One Second After, which was written by a guy who's sort of a secular expert, and Newt Gingrich wrote the foreword, and it's primarily focused on the EMP risk posed by North Korea and Iran, who are both developing nuclear weapons. And both countries, in fact, are pursuing EMP technology. Because an EMP is a very simple atmospheric detonation that'll basically destroy the entire United States in one shot, rather than needing a whole bunch of ground-based or, you know, atmospheric weapons that bring destruction through the blast and through the thermal radiation of a conventional warhead. These EMP devices, they don't actually kill anybody on day one, but they destroy the economy. And they throw us back into the buggy and horse era, which we are not prepared to operate in. And so for all practical purposes, I mean, I think the estimates of our government are if we had a national EMP event, we'd have 90% population loss within 12 months.
That's incredible. You know, I read that book, Benjamin, and for the listeners, it's not a Christian book, it's a secular book, but I read it just to get a picture and an image of how it possibly could be, and of course it's not gospel, but I did read it, and one of the things that I found interesting in that book, as I say this, I'm not saying it to condemn, but I think it does hold true, because this thing could actually come into play without a solar flare. It could happen if we had an economic crash and if all the stores were looted and shut down, but in that book, it talked about a timeline of the deaths as they occurred. For example, it said within the first month, all the people that were diabetics would run out of their medicine, so they only could survive for a month. And then the people with beta blocker heart medicine would not be able to renew their medicine, so they were gone. All the people on dialysis. I mean, it just went down the list. But one thing that was interesting, and you mentioned the beast. How many people are on antidepressants and they get their prescription refilled every month, and how many people can testify that when they miss their dose for 2 or 3 days, they start having thoughts that are self-destructive, thoughts that are suicidal, thoughts of homicide? And we hear those stories all the time, Benjamin, people that didn't take their antidepressants and then they went crazy. And in that book, all the people that were on antidepressants pretty much killed themselves.
Well, and can you imagine, you can't get your meds, so you've come off your antidepressants, so now you're chemically unbalanced. And that's occurring in an environment where civilization has collapsed. Riots are occurring in the streets. The city is burning in part. No one's putting out the fires. Your TV doesn't work, so you can't use that placebo. And you can't get any of the other things that you normally use to fix the pain. And there you are. in the reality of it. I think the majority or a substantial percentage of the population, Nathan, is actually going to go clinically insane and will enter a catatonic state, a state of catharsis and psychosis, where they'll turn into something like zombies, where they will just stare. And it's not that they don't believe, it's that their brains will be absolutely incapable of processing reality and functioning. And so they literally will just sit on the couch and stare for hours while the city outside is in chaos and looting and burning. You know, a significant percent of the population, you know, housewives who could never face the reality that judgment might come on this nation, they'll be sitting there wanting to make the bed, you know, just because it's all they ever did and it's the only part of their old normal life that is still available to them. So the city will be burning and they'll be folding the sheets in a catatonic state.
Isn't that kind of the psychosis that is observed in war-torn countries with refugees and survivors?
Defense mechanism. People literally go into what's called disassociation state, or they go into a disassociation disorder where the brain actually fractures and human consciousness splits. And the part of their mind that is perceiving the objective reality of this judgment is so intense they cannot comprehend it emotionally. They fracture from it and they go into this catatonic state where, you know, they could be sitting there doing the most ridiculous task because they're literally unable to cope with reality. And of course, those people probably won't have a long-term survival beyond the planet because they're not going to be coping with the changes that have occurred and they won't be making the decisions necessary to cope in that environment. You know, they're basically, they'll be dealing with their last days in a state of such total denial that they will have detached from reality.
And then we have, of course, the ones that the Bible tells us, men's hearts. How many heart attacks will be happening during this horror?
Well, and sure, their hearts will be failing them, or they'll be taking their own lives, or they'll be cursing and gnashing their teeth. In the scripture, that after these things, they would not still repent of their sorcery, you know, their drugs and their pharmacon, and of their idolatry, and worshiping their money and their gold, and of, you know, their fornications. They would not repent of these things. And instead, they're going to blaspheme heaven when judgments come. Really the craziest thing of all, because you would think at that point a rational human being would say, all right, I didn't believe the report. I didn't want to believe these guys. I thought they were crazy. But here it is. It's actually happening. Maybe they're completely right. Maybe I should repent and turn to Jesus. But no, the majority of the people will not even figure it out at that point. And instead, they will be driven into darkness. And they'll be driven to perdition. And for eternity, they will exist in a state of woe.
And that's why we hear the words of Jesus saying, he that endures, that's the key word, Benjamin, to the end.
That's right.
So endurance, how do the people find endurance? I mean, today things are so easy. We have the candy cane gospel making things so easy for people. There's no attitude or discipline of seeking. There's no spiritual fitness in a lot of Christians to seek. People have not learned, Benjamin, to seek God the way that we're supposed to be seeking God. And that's the missing element.
Conditioned physically, mentally, spiritually, or emotionally to deal with what's about to happen. And as a result, most of them are going to be early casualties. Only a small remnant is actually going to endure this thing. But for those who want to endure, you could begin to physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally prepare yourself. So how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways. You prepare in every dimension that I just mentioned. You know, for one, for lack of knowledge, people perish. So you need to get some knowledge. It's very helpful to have wisdom and knowledge. The very first warning in this hour, the Lord said, take heed that no man deceive you. This is the time of unprecedented deception. When you turn on the television, you see propaganda and deception. When you listen to most political candidates, you are getting propaganda and political deception. When you listen to most religious speakers in this hour, you're getting men who only know his name telling you an agenda formed by other men. You're not hearing the voice of the Lord or the Rhema word that's coming out of heaven. So you have to acquire the knowledge of the truth, which requires you to diligently search as a Berean. Look, information and knowledge is not cheap. It not free. It's precious. It comes at great cost, and it comes with great effort. You can't study the scriptures like you would be reading a magazine, just casually flipping the pages, read a little here, read a little there. You need to diligently study the word so that you got it in you, and you've got it right, and you've got it good. And so you can begin with the knowledge of the word of God and the knowledge of the truth of what's happening in this earth, and then you can get yourself ready by equipping and training yourself spiritually, prayer, fasting, repent, praise, and worship, and learning spiritual warfare, and then equipping and preparing yourself physically, get into shape, get off the couch, start eating healthy, start cleansing your body, cleansing your mind, and dealing with all of this. And, you know, it's a whole lot of work. You bet it is. Or you could just sit back and try doing nothing as a strategy and, you know, call your passivity faith. Well, Benjamin, I'm just going to trust the Lord. You know, the Lord didn't tell Noah, just trust me. He didn't tell Lot in Sodom, just trust me. No, he told Noah to build a boat and he told Lot to get out of town. And in World War II, there was a church in Germany where in the midst of the service, a prophet stood up and said, this city is about to be firebombed and the church service has to be stopped. Everyone has to leave the city. And no one is to go home and even try to get any of their personal property. There's no time for that. We have to leave now, and we must leave immediately. Some people received that word and obeyed, and they got out of the city of Dresden. Other people thought, well, you know, maybe the Lord wasn't totally serious. Maybe he was kidding a little bit. Maybe we can sneak home and get a few of our possessions. Those people were all incinerated in the firestorm, because when Dresden was firebombed, the winds got up to 500-600 miles an hour outside the city, as the flames were sucking in all the oxygen. Some of the people that tried to escape were literally picked up off the ground, sucked into the inferno. So, you know, you can learn to hear the Lord, and when God says get out of Dodge and don't go home to get your stuff, you better listen up. If there was time to go home and get your stuff, he would have told you, go get your stuff. If he says don't, then don't.
It's a very late hour, Benjamin, and a lot of people are all over their map in their spiritual walk. We probably have a lot of people listening right now that aren't even Christians, and maybe they're just wondering what this God thing is all about. Someone gave me this audio, and I got these guys that are scaring me, and I've kind of thought about giving my life to God, but I never knew if I should, or I thought I had more time. I want to, you know, live a little before I do it. What would you say to that non-Christian person listening right now?
Well, I would say that Jesus Christ is absolutely who he said he was, that he's capable of protecting and keeping his word true and pure, and that the Bible is the infallible word of God. That doesn't mean that the men who read it today have always an infallible interpretation. You need to search the scriptures out for yourself and prayerfully approach them, asking God to speak to you directly. But Jesus Christ is both the Lord God Almighty, and he's very much alive. He's very much capable of reaching and teaching, speaking to each one of us, and you need to seek him. As far as wanting to live a little, that's just part of Satan's big deception. The only life is in Jesus Christ. That stuff that's going on in the world apart from God, which involves pursuing peace and happiness through the supposed pleasures of the flesh, it has nothing to do with life. It's all slavery and debauchery, and it's always an end in misery and woe. So flee from that iniquity and find the life that is the truth in Jesus Christ, because he alone is the source of all peace, love, and joy on this planet. There is no peace or joy for the wicked. Peace and joy is found in the righteousness in Jesus Christ. He's alive, he's God, and he can reveal himself to you, and you have to find him personally. And salvation is not just coming to a mental knowledge that Jesus is Lord. It says in the scripture that demons know that Jesus is Lord, and they tremble. They fear the judgment that's going to come upon them. We have to be different than the demons. The demons are spirits of disobedience. They do not obey the Lord. Therefore, they know they will certainly face his judgment. We have to repent of our disobedience, and we have to come into right relationship with God, which is that he is the Lord. We were created for his pleasure, and we were created to become part of his family and to be in relationship with him. The most amazing part of our salvation is that the Lord calls us to his holiness. He calls us to be transformed into his very nature. And then he calls us to be his friend. And that is the essence of everything that every human being is looking for in this life. We are all being driven by a need and a desire for love and for significance and to be valued and to make a contribution and to do that which is good and right and just and true, so that we become part of this righteousness. And it can only be found in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other door. And I can tell you, someone told me, Nathan, when I was 14 years old and I'd been raised inside the Empire Church, where, you know, it was a big religious ritual, and I used to think, boy, if this is God, I really don't even want any part of it. The place is so dead. And then somebody told me, you can actually meet God. You can be introduced to him, you can meet him, and you can get to know him, and you can talk to him, and he'll talk to you back. And I thought, you can talk to God? Yes, you can. He'll talk back to me? Yes. You seek him with your whole heart, he will certainly respond to you. And I remember thinking as a little kid, now it's not what you know, it's who you know. You can't top this. I for sure want to meet him. And, you know, praise the Lord for his mercy in my life. I did. And when I sought him with my, you know, little heart as a little kid, I was only 14 at the time, Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. And when I called on him, he answered me. It's very much real.
Where were you when you did that? Were you at home or at a church?
At home by myself, you know, and I prayed and I asked the Lord to reveal himself to me. And if it was true and if it was real, then I wanted him to be my God.
You know, that's neat what you just said, Benjamin, because my salvation experience, I've never shared this, and maybe I'll do a program on it in the future and go into detail, but long story short, I was a 17-year-old pothead, boozer, Led Zeppelin freak, you know, long hair. I believe Rush Limbaugh calls them long-haired, maggot-infested FM types. Well, that was me. And I remember that my older brother had a friend. He was 2 years older. I was 17, so his friend was 19. Became a Christian, and he started coming to our house and telling my brother to give his life over to God. And I was in the bedroom, and I heard the story about Jesus. And this guy talking to my brother didn't know I was listening, but I'm listening from my bedroom. So he left a little track, a little book that talked about how to meet God when he left. And I went out there and picked that track up, and I held on to that thing for a month. And I would read it at school. Anyway, finally, on January the 6th, I believe it was, 1980, I was out partying, and for a whole month, I had this track in my pocket. And as I was partying for a month, the Holy Spirit convicted me for a month, and he would not stop convicting me. And what I mean by that is, he would whisper in my ear, I kept hearing over and over my head, you need to give your life to God. And it wouldn't go away. I was at school, it wouldn't go away. And so I went out with my buddies and I tried to get high and it wouldn't go away. So on January the 7th, this was a Friday night, I tried to make it go away by drinking a lot. So it didn't go away. So I went home, stumbled home, crawled into bed, and I woke up the next morning. It was about 10 o'clock and I had a horrible headache, a terrible hangover, and I was laying there. And I woke up, I'm laying in bed, and there's the Holy Spirit again. You need to give your life to me. And finally, I said, okay, I give up. What do I need to do? And I didn't know, Benjamin. I was all by myself. I had a terrible headache. I had nausea. So I picked up that track that was on the side of my bed, and on the back page, it had the Sinner's Prayer. Now, I know that there's theological debates on the Sinner's Prayer, but that's all I had at the time. And basically on there, it said, admit that you're a sinner to Jesus and tell him that you're sorry for being a sinner and ask him to forgive you. So I laid there in bed and I did that. I said, Jesus, you know I'm rotten. You know I'm a pothead and I have so much darkness inside of me. And I just, a simple mind, but I did it. And it was incredible, Benjamin. After about 30 seconds, I laid there. I was done with the prayer. I said, amen. Nothing happened, but about 30 seconds later, I started feeling this tingling at the top of my head, and it was like a cloud came over my head, and when it was over my head, my headache left, and it went down my neck, came over my shoulders. It was Jesus coming inside me. I could feel him coming in. It was incredible. And by the time he got to my shoulders, I just started to weep because I felt light, the headache was gone, and I was just laying there, the hangover was gone, and I'm weeping. And it was like a glove coming over my whole body. And after he went to the soles of my feet, I laid there, I don't know how long it was, 5, 10, 30 minutes, an hour, weeping. Because I knew that God was real. I mean, I knew that you can experience the presence of the creator of the universe. There was no one from that point on that could tell me that God was not real. And it changed my life, Benjamin. So to the person listening, if that's you, you don't have to be in a church building. You can be anywhere in this entire planet. You can be at the bottom of the ocean. You can be on Mars. But if you cry out to God and you tell him that you need him, and you tell him that you're tired of living the life that you've been living, and it's his turn, and you're done, he's going to answer your prayer, my friends. So to everyone listening, Benjamin, I just want them to know that we are coming to the last grains of sand in that hourglass, that the fullness of time is about to be fulfilled for this age that we're living in. And it is time for people far and wide, in every country that we're living in, to fall on their knees, to repent, and to come to God like they've never come to him before in the past. If you're a Hollywood star, and I say that, Benjamin, because I know they're listening. If you're famous, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you think you have in the bank. That is all going to burn. Your only hope is God. Your only hope is Jesus, and your only hope is coming to his mercy and finding him at the foot of the cross.
There are not years left. This is about to happen, and we got to seek the Lord now. And I know that the report is vexing of the soul. It says in the scripture, it shall be vexation of soul to even hear the report. And if you can hear Nathan, and if you can hear me, and David Wilkerson, and Dimitri Dudeman, and the thousands of voices the Lord's raised up, you can hear this report. It does vex your soul. It shakes you. It shakes the foundation of your world. But the Lord is the hope of his people. And there's no safety in the shadow of Pharaoh. We are not going to get anything. There's no profit in turning back to the world. But there is profit in turning to the Lord. There is hope in seeking the Lord. And fear has torment. The Lord told us to not fear what man could do to us. And he also told us to not fear in this earth. He's in total control of what is about to happen. He's going to purify the church. Part of the reason for this judgment and for the great tribulation is God demands a pure people. And we have not been pure. We've been a people of compromise. This is a generation of compromise. And so the Lord is going to clean house, and he's cleaning house in a big way. But his purpose is to present a holy and righteous and spotless bride to his son. And so this process that God is going to do in the church is altogether righteous and true. Yeah, dark days are coming, and it's not going to stay comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But the Lord's going to walk with us through this. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. You know, we really need to fix our hope firmly on him, because that's all that is left now.
Amen. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him, and it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. My friends, as we end this message, I want you to know that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what your condition, God is your only hope, and God is the one that can cleanse. God is the one that is able to pick your hand up and pull you out of the mire of captivity. God is the one that is able to remove the scales of blindness from your eyes so that you can see his glory for what it is, and the beauty of his holiness and the glory of his majesty. My friends, today is the day for all of us to come to God, for all of us to learn our place in him by allowing him to walk by our side, by turning our lives over to him 100%, by laying down those vices, those weights that are holding us back. And it is by learning how to worship him. It is by learning to lift up our hands and to give him the glory and the honor and the reverence that he is worthy of. In the days that are coming, my friends, we must all learn to be worshipers of him. We must all learn to be able to say, God, no matter what, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to worship you. No matter how dark the night gets, no matter how powerful the winds blow, no matter how loud the voices of opposition may get, we are going to depend on you, God, and we're going to worship you to the very end, no matter what. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Oh, let us feel His presence. Let the sound of praises fill the air. Oh, let us sing the song of Jesus' love.
Wants to know.